Good morning, everyone. If you would, grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Several years ago, my brother and I were leaving the Dallas area. We were headed up to Eagle Nest, New Mexico. We had a trailer on the back, had some building material. We got into his truck to drive up there, one of his company trucks, and I noticed when we got in, it had just a little over half a tank of gas. So I said, let's pull over, and I will fill this truck up so we'll have a full tank when we get on the road. And he said, no, I'd rather wait till we get to Wichita Falls, and we'll fill up there, and then we'll be able to go further. So we're driving, and we're talking, and I'm looking over at the fuel gauge, and we're getting fairly close to Wichita Falls, and it still shows a quarter of a tank. And I thought, we're doing good. But I noticed that he was getting a little bit nervous. I'm like, what's wrong? He said, well, this truck has a problem, and the problem is that it will run out of gas, or diesel, actually, at around a quarter of a tank. And I look back, and we're at below a quarter of a tank. Now, I don't know if you know where the Jolly truck stop is out there, but we were trying to make it there. And all of a sudden, you could tell it was dying on us. And we're topping the hill. I could see the sign. We're so close, yet we're so far away. And so the truck dies. We're coming down the hill. We take the exit. We have a stop sign at the exit. If we stop, we're done. So he's like, you keep watching. Let me know if you see anybody. We just go right through the stop sign. We pull into the parking lot. The very front tanks that have diesel fuel are all full of vehicles. There's diesel fuel on the other side. We coast to the other side of the parking lot. I'm not kidding you. We stop within 5 feet of the fuel pump. We're not pushing this truck with that load on the back. I had to go inside. I had to purchase a gas tank. I had to come outside, fill it up, walk over to the truck, pour it into the truck, and then I learned something about diesel vehicles. If you run out of fuel in a diesel vehicle, it does not start very easy afterwards. I don't know what he was doing. He was under the hood, and I was up trying to. It took us like an hour, maybe longer, to get fueled up so we could get back on the road. I wonder today, how many of you have ever felt like personally you've run out of fuel? Anybody? Some of us, I know we feel that way today. And it's not because we're doing anything wrong. It's just that we run and we run and we run. And then all of a sudden we may be that far from the pump to fill back up, but we're just empty. Well, today we're going to be talking about running on empty. I got good news for you. Some of you will be real excited about this. Summertime is here. Right? Everybody excited about that? Now, here's what I know about summertime. Summertime for many means summer vacations. You know that magical time where you imagine peace, quiet, maybe a hammock by the beach, maybe hanging out in the mountains somewhere with a fishing pole, and you're going to get that rest. But how many of you have ever come back from a vacation needing another vacation to actually get rest because that vacation was not a rest? So one more quick story before we dive in. Several years ago, when we were living in Kansas, it was coming up to July. We were going to take a vacation. Well, I wanted to go somewhere and just see a very spectacular 4th of July show, take the girls, they were young, and just have a great time. So I started doing all the research, and I discovered that Mount Rushmore was in one of the top 10 places to go and see July 4th fireworks. So we thought, well, that's in driving distance. So we load up the car. We pack in the snacks. We pack in the kids. We've got all of our luggage. It looks like we're moving to South Dakota. And we take off on this road trip. And when we get there, I'm already exhausted because of, you know, the fights in the back seat of who touched who type thing, the things that kids do. We get there, I'm already wore out. Well, we go to the park on the 4th of July. We get there early. We've got our lawn chairs. We go and we pick the perfect spot and we set up and we're ready to spend the day at the park waiting for the fireworks at night. And guess what? It starts to rain. Now, I'm not talking about just a little drizzle that comes and goes. We're talking about a downpour where your shoes are soggy, your clothes are all wet, but I was determined. And we sat in that park all day long. and we're all covered up, and every time that there'd be a little bit of break in the rain, we would go around the park, and they kept announcing all day long that the fireworks show was going to go on. And we see the park kind of weeding out through the day. People were giving up, but not me. Nope, I came all this way. I want to see this spectacular fireworks show, and it's going to happen. Well, after sitting out there all day long, the sun finally goes down. There's still clouds in the air, and they start the fireworks. You could hear the boom as it echoed through the park. But all you could see was the clouds change colors as the fireworks were going off. With the booms that were going off, you could tell this was a spectacular fireworks show. But all we experienced was a little glow and a lot of rain and a very tired family. Yeah, sometimes that happens to us, right? We're going through, we've got everything planned out all in life. Everything is going to go like we expect it to go. And then all of a sudden, we just feel like we're getting rained on. We're getting wet. Everything's not going like we thought. And it becomes very tiring. Sometimes your plans, you have high hopes, maybe even for rest and joy, something meaningful, and it doesn't quite deliver. Well, that's why this summer we're going to take a few weeks here, and we're going to look at what we're calling rest for the weary. Because let's be honest, vacations don't always recharge us. Things that we go through each and every day of our life, a lot of times will drain us. And I'm not talking about bad things. Sometimes the bad things come, and we know that they have a way of draining us. But sometimes even the good things that we're doing, the things that we have to do each and every day just to get by, sometimes they will drain us to where we can feel like we're running on empty. But what I would hope for us is that in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives, that we could go through this season and we could come out spiritually full. That we've got a full tank of gas, that we're ready to go, and we're not running on empty in our life. But here's a reality. A lot of people are just tired. Just tired. Now, I'm not talking physically tired, even though that comes along with it. It's just tired. We're just going. We're busy. We're doing things that have to be done. And life seems to pile it on. The stresses of life. The expectations of life, the grief that comes, the fear, the busyness, until it feels like we're carrying the weight of the world on our backs. And when we're running on empty, here's something that we need to consider. Running on empty, we will lose perspective. And when we lose perspective, it all of a sudden feels like everything is overwhelming, even the smallest things. When we're running on empty, a lot of times we won't ask others for help. We'll think, I've got this, I can do this, I can handle this, and we just try to keep on going. We neglect the things that matter most, our faith, relationships, even health. We burn out spiritually doing all the right things, but now we don't have the joy that we once had while we were doing the right things. And sometimes we'll get to the point where we'll isolate ourselves. We'll pull away because no one understands all the stress that I'm going through. And when we think that no one understands the stress that we're going through, they can ask us the simplest thing, and now we feel like they're piling even more stress on us. And don't they know that I'm already running on empty? Why are they asking these things? And so we can potentially pull away from others. But what if I told you this today? What if I told you that Christ has a plan for each one of us when we find ourselves running on empty? Would you be excited about that? Almost sounds like an infomercial, right? What if I told you there was this wonderful plan that if you buy into this plan, it will change your life? And here's a reality. Christ does have a plan for when we're running on empty. And he wants us to know this plan. He wants us to understand what we need so that our life can be full of joy. Even though we're going through all that we're going through, even though things may not change in our lives, our circumstances may not change, we can run with a full tank of gas. And we can run well. So look with me, if you would, at Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to begin in verse 28. And we're just going to read a couple of verses here, but these are very powerful words. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Let's pray together. Father, today as we gather in this place and we look at these simple words this morning, I pray that you would draw us close to yourself, that we would hear from you today, that God, you would show us what you would have each one of us to see through this passage, and that whatever way we need to respond to you today, that we would be quick to make that response. Thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Now, I want to tell you this morning, this is a very simple sermon. And it's very simple because in 59 words, Jesus gives us a very simple plan for us to follow so that we don't have to run in our life and live on empty. Now, by the time Jesus speaks these famous words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, I will give you rest," he's addressing a crowd that knows a thing or two about pressure and weariness. They had several different pressures in their life that they were having to deal with. The first one, I would say, was religious pressure. The Jewish people in Jesus' days were very spiritually exhausted. You see, the Jewish leaders, especially the Pharisees, came up with a bunch of extra laws that people needed to follow so that they could obey the Ten Commandments. So God gives the Ten Commandments, and they came up with all these things to make the Ten Commandments work. Well, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Over 600 different laws that the Pharisees came up with that the people would have to follow. And if they did not follow those, then they were looked down upon. They would be ridiculed. They would be even cast out in some situations. And so there was this extra pressure to try to be right with God. Can you imagine trying to follow over 600 laws just to make sure that you're in a right relationship with God? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a problem sometimes breaking the speed? Wait, don't raise your hand on this, okay? How many of you have a hard time sometimes following the speed limit? We got some hands going up, and here's the problem. Y'all cannot follow rules because I just said don't raise your hand. And these people were having to follow over 600 rules to be right with God, to fulfill the religious duties so that they could be in a right standing with God. And it was really so they could be in right standing with their religion, with what the Pharisees said. Had nothing to do with grace and love. It had everything to do with works and the way that you do things. And so they were under religious pressure. They were also under political pressure. They lived under this political heavy hand of the Roman Empire. Taxation, oppression, constant reminders that they weren't free. Life was hard. Life was difficult. Life was full of injustice and unrest. And then they also had personal weariness. Just like today, people carried their own pain. The pain of grief, the pain of guilt, the pain of suffering, relational tension, poverty, unmet expectations by other people, for other people. All these different things, same kind of things that we face every day, that give us a personal pressure that we live under, a personal weariness. And so Jesus sees this. Jesus understands this. And just like he understood it for the people in that day, he understands it very well for us in our day as well. And so he gives us what I would call a rescue plan. A rescue plan, not just encouragement, not just suggestions, but an actual plan that if we will follow, then we will understand the abundant life that he offers. Now notice something important. What I want you to notice in this passage at first is not what Jesus says, but what Jesus doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say if you're feeling down, if you're feeling empty, If you're feeling weary, well, just try a little bit harder. Work a little bit more. Do other things that will help you to feel full. He doesn't say add more onto your plate or do more to what you're already doing. And I think that's very important that he doesn't say that, because that's what the world would say. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling weary, well, just do more. Add more on. Where does that make sense at all? But that's what we tend to do. Well, if I will just do this, then I will feel better. If I will just add this, if I will do this, then things will happen. But Jesus doesn't say that. He gives us a three-step invitation that leads to something powerful, a rescue plan that leads to true rest. And I'm going to call this the three-step rescue plan with a wonderful result. So you can take that and run with it, and you can go out and tell the world, I've got a three-step plan that will change your life. This is going to be, again, very simple as we go through it. The first thing I want you to see in this plan that Jesus gives us is come to Jesus. You're feeling tired. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. Come to Jesus. Come to him. That's what he says. He offers this invitation. He says, come to me. And who does he say come to me? All come to me who labor, who are heavy laden. Everyone, just come to me. And Jesus opens up an invitation to come to him. And it's not just an invitation to offer us rest, but it's an invitation where he is offering us himself. He is offering us a relationship. And the first step to rest is not doing more, but it's coming to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, come to me when you've got it all together. Aren't you grateful for that? He doesn't say, come to me when you feel like that's what you want to do. He says, come to me when you're down. Come to me at any time. Come to me and I will give you what you need. Now listen, Jesus is the one who knows you the best, right? And he loves you the most. And he cares about where you're at. He cares about when you're going through the highs of life, when you're going through the lows of life, and he cares about when you're feeling overwhelmed in life. The one who knows you the best, loves you the most, no matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, he loves you and he invites you to come to him with everything that you're carrying. He doesn't say, lay it aside. He says, come to me. And when you come to him, he will help you take care of those things. So this is more than an invitation. Again, it's a rescue plan. Now, coming to Jesus is very simply an act of surrender. And I love that while ago when we sit there and sing, I surrender all. But I think a reality in many of our lives, we should be singing, I surrender some. I surrender maybe even most. But those words are very important. I surrender all. Jesus is inviting us to come to him in an act of surrender, to lay everything at his feet, everything that we have. Not hang on to part of it, but to lay it all down at his feet. Bring it all to Jesus. Coming to Jesus, an act of surrender, it's admitting that we can't do it on our own. And by the way, can I remind you that you weren't meant to do life all on your own. He's had this plan all along. Jesus says, whenever you realize that you cannot do life on your own, I'm here, come to me. In John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus wants us to come to him. He desires that people would come to him. Now, let me break this down for you this morning. Today, if you're not a follower of Christ, you're not a believer, you haven't given your life to Christ, that invitation is for you to come to him just as you are. Again, not when you have everything figured out, because you'll never have everything figured out. But he offers you this invitation to come to him. It is the gift of salvation. It is not religion. It is not rules. It is not a checklist. But it is a real relationship. If you will repent of your sins, believe in him, confess him as your Lord and Savior, then he will forgive you of your sins. And he will give you a fresh start. He will give you rest, soul rest. He desires, if you don't know him today, that you would come to him. Paul And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 begs the people in this. He says, do not ignore this wonderful gift of salvation. And he says that this is the right time to receive it, that today is the day of salvation. He's begging, he's pleading with the people. You've heard about the gift of God, the wonderful salvation that comes. Please don't put that aside. But please come to Jesus, because he wants you to come to him. And that's the same plea that we will make week after week here, because that is so important. The most important thing you can do. Come to Jesus. Trust him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. But we need to understand in this passage, this isn't just an invitation for those that are far from God, that don't know him, but it's an invitation for every follower of Jesus too. Jesus doesn't say, come to me for salvation and then good luck. Hope you figure life out. He doesn't say, come to me and then you can just go on and do your thing and maybe things will work out good. Jesus is giving us a plan that even after we come to him, we need to keep coming to him. We come to him for salvation, but we come to him daily in our life. Jesus says in John 15:4, abide in me and remain in me, and I will remain in you. And what Jesus is saying is stay connected to me. Stay close to me. You know, sometimes in life, we know that Christ is our Lord and Savior. We've trusted him. We believe that. But sometimes we feel distant from God. Anybody ever feel that way? You'll raise your hand on not running out of gas when I tell you not to. But that one, oh no, leave me up here by myself. We do. We feel that way, don't we? Things happen and we start feeling like maybe I'm distant. How many of you have ever felt like, man, I've been praying and praying and praying. I don't even know if God's out there anymore. It just feels like he's not even hearing my prayers. Anybody been like that? It happens in our lives, right? It happens at times when we feel distant to God. And Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. Surrender to me. Abide in me. Stay close to me. Walk with me. Depend on me daily, because just like a branch cannot produce fruit unless it stays connected to the vine, you and I cannot live the life that God intended for us to live if we're not staying connected to Jesus. Now let me be very clear here, because I don't want anybody to get confused. Coming to Jesus after salvation is not being saved again. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are secure in that salvation. Not because you hold closely to him, perfectly to him, but he holds you perfectly. Scripture tells us that there's nothing that can pluck us out of his hand. Nothing. And so it is on our side. And Jesus saying, here I am. Come to me. And even Christians get tired at times. We've already admitted that. Now we get tired in our lives, and Jesus says, come to me. So I wonder today, what is it that's keeping you from coming to Jesus? So let's begin with those that may not have that personal relationship with him. What's keeping you from coming to him today? Is it pride? Is it confusion? Is it just not understanding what you feel like you need to understand? What is it? What is keeping you today from just coming to Jesus and laying everything down at his feet and saying, I need you as my Lord and Savior? Now let's go further. Those of you that have known Christ maybe for a long time, for a short time, what is keeping you today? What is holding you back today from coming to Jesus? From what we said, I surrender all. What are you hanging on to? Is it pride? Is it confusion? Is it questions that you have? You see, all those things still can remain the same, and they continue to hinder us from Jesus. And Jesus says, come to me. Are you feeling empty today? Come to me. You feel like you're running low on fuel? Come to me. You feel like everything is going great? Come to me. Abide in me, and he will abide in you. So when he says to come to me, he's simply saying, surrender your life to me, and I will give you rest. Just give you a little personal confession today. That's where I struggle in my life. It's that surrendering all. Because even though I know what God's word says, even though I know what Christ wants me to do, there's times that I will hang on to the stuff myself. I can do this. I don't need to bother God today. He's got enough problems. You've seen how the world's going. Mine's minor stuff. Anybody ever feel that way, think that way? We do. It's natural for us. And so I will hang on to that. And all I'm doing is hanging on to extra weight that he has never asked me to hang on to. He has never said, you do this on your own. Whatever it is in our lives, whatever it is that's hanging us back, holding us back, hand it over to him. And you know what? Sometimes it's just busyness. Sometimes it's the good things that we have to do, but it's those busy things that we're running from here to there, and we're hanging on to all that when we need to lay it down at his feet. Whatever it is this morning, would you simply come to Jesus and lay it at his feet? Number two, take up his yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, that phrase may not mean a whole lot to us in our world today, because most of us don't just have a yoke hanging around in our garage. And by the way, I'm not talking about an egg yolk. I'm talking about a yoke that you would put on oxen so that they could do the work in the field. And the thing about that yoke is that a farmer would tie two oxen together, that they would work as a team together, but a lot of times they would put an older oxen with a younger oxen so that the younger oxen would learn how to do things like the older oxen does. And together they could do a whole lot more work. And the older oxen, the wiser oxen, he would pull most of the weight at the beginning. And the younger oxen would learn and learn, and to where they get to the point where they're pulling the same weight together. The younger oxen would still walk, still learn, still move, but it wasn't carrying the full burden because the stronger ox did the heavy lifting. So when Jesus says, take my yoke, he's saying, let's do this together. Let me carry the load. Let me guide the way. And Jesus isn't putting an extra burden upon us, but he's making our burden lighter. Because many times we try to do it all on our own. And Jesus is saying, no, let me do this with you. And by the way, I'm the stronger one. And I'm going to pull the hardest. And I will help you through this. A lot of times when we read that, he says, take my yoke upon you. We're like, I don't have a yoke. I don't want a yoke wrapped around my neck. I don't want to do that. But the reality is we have heavy yokes already wrapped around our neck. And Jesus is saying, let me come along beside you. Let me walk with you, and you walk with me, and I will train you, and I will teach you, and I will help make life easier. A lot of people, a lot of Christians that are tired, are not tired because they don't love Jesus, not because they don't serve Jesus, but somewhere along the way, they said yes to salvation and no to surrender. We trusted Jesus to save our souls, but we're still trying to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. Can I remind you that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, while he was hanging on the cross, he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and he died for that, so that we would not have to carry the weight of the world. And we can come along beside him. We can be yoked with him. It's easy for us to be yoked to the things of this world, yoked to success, trying to prove ourselves, yoked to perfection, trying to never mess up, yoked to approval, trying to keep everyone happy, yoked to religion, trying to earn God's love, yoked to the love of the things of this world. We desire the worldly pleasures more than our relationship with God. And yes, those are yokes. Those are heavy yokes. They wear us out and they will break us. And Jesus said, take my yoke, learn from me, walk with me, trust me. And here's the promise. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You don't have to worry about all of that. So here's the heart of it. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Don't miss the contrast there. The enemy wants to steal your peace. The enemy wants to take away your joy. The enemy wants you to not have rest, but to feel all that weight upon you. But Jesus says, I've come to give you true life, and I've come to give you the abundant life. And this abundant life comes when we're not carrying the weight of the world on our shoulders, but we're walking side by side with Him, and He is walking with us. That word abundant doesn't mean flashy or fancy. It means full, rich in purpose, peace in His presence. Listen, you don't get that kind of life by dragging around heavy yokes on your own. So here's a little secret. Life looks different when you're yoked to Jesus. The world looks different when you're yoked to Jesus. The problems that we see around us each and every day, they begin to look different when you're yoked to Jesus, because you understand that He is walking with you and He is helping carry that weight. And here's where the transformation begins. When you yoke with Jesus, then worship is no longer a chore, but it becomes a joy. Serving isn't out of obligation, it becomes a response of love. Obedience isn't drudgery, it is now delight. And life's burdens don't crush you, but they lead you right back to Christ because you understand the power in Him. So when you're walking with Jesus, even good things can wear you out. Ministry can become draining. Church can feel like a performance. Faith can feel fake. But when you're yoked with Christ, those things now become a source of joy when you're walking with Him. When you're walking with Jesus, everything begins to change. So come to Him. Come to Him. Third point, learn from Him. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I love this because he goes on to say, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says, learn from me because I am humble and I am gentle in heart. How many of you can say that today? I am humble and gentle in heart. I told you a story several years ago. We went on vacation and we stopped at a church that we had visited before and we enjoyed it, and the guy was talking about gentleness. So I changed my name to Gentle Dave. That's been several years and it's kind of stuck. But guess what? I'm not living up to the name. I have a hard time with that. And that humility part, some of us need a little work on that as well, right? But Jesus says, learn from me because that's who I am. He doesn't say I'm harsh and I'm demanding. He says, I am gentle. I am gentle and I'm humble. And that's how he wants us to be in our life. And if we could become more and more like Jesus, that's why he's saying, learn from me. And by the way, that's what a disciple does. When we come to know Christ, we become Christian. We're becoming a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. We're learning to be more and more like Christ in our life every day. And he wants us to be that gentle and humble, have that kind of spirit, because that's who he is. The invitation of Jesus doesn't stop at come to me. It doesn't stop at take my yoke. He says, learn from me. In other words, walk with me long enough that you start to think like me and you start to act like me. You start to move like me. Somebody described it this way. You're learning to dance, you and your dance partner. And at first, there's going to be some stepping on toes. There's going to be some out of rhythm stuff. But the more and more that you practice, the more you become one on the dance floor. And that's the way it is with Christ. When we come to Him and we're starting to walk with Him, we're going to have our toes stepped on. We're going to be out of a line sometimes. But the more and more that we grow with Him, the more we begin to be like one with Him. And people begin to see Christ in us and through us because that's who we are becoming like. Let me ask you, do you look like Christ? Are you in sync with Him? He says, come to me. And let's walk together. Let's learn together. Let me help you learn. And here's the result. And what a wonderful result that this is. He says, you will find rest. It's not that you might find rest. It's not that you could possibly find rest, but you will find rest. Soul rest. This is not a rest that, like, when you wake up in the morning, you've had a good night's sleep, you just wake up and you're ready to go for the day, only an hour or two later to go, man, I'm exhausted again. It's soul rest. It's an inward rest. And when you don't have that inward rest, that's a good sign that there's a connection problem. And I need to come to Jesus. I need to come to Him. And I need to walk with Him. I need to continue to learn from Him. I need to be close to Him. Not physical rest, but emotional, spiritual, soul rest. The kind of rest where you can actually breathe again. Sometimes we get to that point where it's like, I just need to breathe again. And that's the kind of rest that he is talking about. So, some closing thoughts for you. What are you carrying that Jesus never asked you to carry? What is that weight that you have on you that he never asked you to put on him? What is it that you need to release to him, those burdens that are wearing you down? What is it that's keeping you from coming to Jesus? What is it that's holding you back today from just coming to him, sitting at his feet, letting him love on you as you love on him? What's keeping you? What's holding you back today from doing that? Because you see, that's where real rest is found. Today, Jesus is calling, come. Come to me. Walk with me. Learn with me. Take my yoke upon you. And let me pull the heavy load as you learn from me. What's keeping you from coming to Jesus today? Let's pray together. As we think about that question, and I want us just to take a moment right where we're at. Ask yourself that question. What is keeping me from coming to Jesus today? What is it that you need to lay down at his feet today? Today, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, today is the day. Come to him. Why not? He is waiting. He has given the invitation. Followers of Christ today, what is that weight that you're carrying? Come to Jesus. You need to be filled up today. Come to him. Find rest in him. Father, I thank you again for your word today. I thank you for that challenge in your word. God, I thank you for the hope in your word. But I thank you for these wonderful words that you have given us. This wonderful invitation, this wonderful plan of where we can find true rest. And it's simply come to you, take your yoke, learn from you, and then we will find that rest. God, I pray for those today that need that rest in you. God, life is just going 100 miles an hour for some, and we feel like it never slows down. God, help us to find rest in you today. For those that don't know you personally, may they find that rest in you today. God, whatever it is, wherever we're at in our life, you know us better than we know ourselves. God, would you just reveal to us right now? Maybe it's those things that we just haven't surrendered over to you yet. God, may we leave this place today truly being able to say, I have surrendered all. All of it to Jesus. Thank you for your wonderful love for us. Thank you for all that you do. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we dismiss this morning. Listen, if God's speaking to your heart today and you'd like to visit with someone about a decision you're ready to make, or maybe you have a prayer need you'd like somebody to pray with, Shane and I will hang around after the service. We'd love to have that opportunity. But as you go out this week, I pray that this would just be a thought in your mind, just to surrender all to him. Come to Jesus every day. This is an ongoing thing that we need to practice in our life, coming to him with everything. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Don't forget about 6 o'clock tonight, and have a great week.